Our next guest is a mother, a grandmother, an Episcopalian priest, wilderness guide, professor, author, and more. In her new book, OMG, Growing Our God Images, Mary Ellen Ashcraft shares her personal journey of spiritual growth, specifically God growth. Here to tell us more is author Mary Ellen Ashcraft. Mary Ellen, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Your book has a unique name, Growing Our God Images. What do you exactly mean by that, God images and growth?
Well, I have come to believe that we have to grow our God images. If you think about the images of God that we often have as children, they're childish, of course. And often we grow up into a God image where God is very magical. If we do the right things, God will keep us safe and protect us. And obviously that's not true in life. Life happens to all of us. So if we don't grow those God images, then we can end up in a situation where we don't have God when we most need God. So I really felt as I was working on this that it's so important we grow those. I've met so many people who say to me, well, I can't believe in God anymore. And if I say, well, tell me about the God you don't believe in, they'll say, well, I don't believe that my Muslim next door neighbor is going to hell forever. I just can't believe that. So I can't believe in God. And there are other possibilities. You could believe in a God who isn't necessarily going to send your Muslim neighbor to hell. So I think that growing God images should be kind of a natural thing that we do throughout our lives. If you think about, we grow in other ways, and we assume we're going to grow in other ways. You know, we grow intellectually. We grow in terms of our ethical decision making. I often think back to when, before I had children, I think most mothers will relate to this. Before I had children, and I'd look at other people with their toddlers, their two-year-olds, and think, honestly, all you have to do is this, and they would be just fine. And then, of course, when you have your own, you have to grow out of that, the reality. And I think it's very much like that, that as we grow our God images, God becomes more to us, more mysterious, but more. And also it changes our relationship with God, because if God is a big puppet master in the sky, then we're the puppet. And if God is mysterious and beyond in some ways, our relationship is different. It's more active. It's less passive.
Now, this book is autobiographical, and you start in Washington, in the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about how you started the book in Washington instead of starting it as a young child. You started it as a young adult. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the book.
Well, I started with this point where I had a very powerful experience of the love of God. And it was through a Jesus People movement that was all the rage at the time in my hometown of Bellingham. And it was very unexpected to me. And it was, it was surprising. And I didn't even feel like I really wanted to be there. And then I had this experience of God. And so I that experience has lasted all this time. I mean, I understand. Have come to understand it in different ways. But that sense of this incredible love of God has really lasted all this time. So I sort of choose that as a keystone moment to start that experience of God, and then go back to looking at some of my earlier childhood experiences. And then on as I, after that conversion experience, I became a fundamentalist for a while. And I'm thankful for that. I learned the Bible backwards and forwards, but I got to a point where I couldn't live in that and needed to move on to something bigger. So moved to England and then to South Africa. So I feel fortunate. I've had a very interesting life, but I've had opportunities to grow in my sense of who God is.
What made you want to write this story? What was driving you to write this book?
Well, a number of things. I mean, one is looking back and seeing how my God images had changed. That would probably be the main one. And my sense of people who have said to me, you know, I don't believe in God, and it seems like they have not realized that they can grow in that sense. I guess the other thing is that I think when a person, when life happens, when we suffer, we have to check and see what our God images are. And so for me, doing that, I actually finished this book about 4 years ago, just before my son was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And I had come to this point of believing in a God who isn't magical, doesn't answer all our prayers just as we'd like, but a God who is present in glimmers and in love and in nature and in all kinds of other ways. And during the time of my son's dying and death, I found that really held, that sense of God like that. I didn't lose God. I've known people who go through something awful, and it was awful, but they lose God, and I didn't feel that. I felt that God was there sustaining and holding.
Your book was so powerful, and it really made me think during and after.
Good.
And, you know, we've all gone through trauma in our lives of some sort, and you share the most personal experiences in your life very candidly with the reader. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. I found that your experiences were helpful when I was thinking of my own experiences. And I almost wanted to put your book into a self-help book area, which you would probably cringe if you saw that in a bookstore in the self-help. I think it will be so helpful to others. And I don't know if that was the intention that you had at the time when you wrote it. Did you think it would help other people too?
That's been my hope, yeah. And, my experiences are interesting, and memoir, creative nonfiction is interesting because life is lived in the details. But this book is really more of a narrative theology, we would call it. So in other words, working out theology about who God is, how God works in our lives, what we do in the face of struggle, and doing that through the details of life. So my hope is that it would be helpful to people. I've had have some friends who have had some hard things in their lives who said that reading this really made them think, oh, maybe I can kind of open myself again to something beyond me.
What a great feeling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm speaking with author Mary Ellen Ashcroft. Mary Ellen's new book, OMG, Growing Our God Images, is our topic of conversation. In this book, you, as I said, you bring us along on your journeys. You bring us to England, you bring us to South Africa, and you include letters that you wrote back home to your parents while you were away. Not only were you were a young woman, a new bride, a mother, you were a daughter, and you were a long way from home. And this is a time when we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have email. How did your parents, what was your parents' reaction at this time? I can only imagine that, you know, you had so many roles to play, including a daughter.
And I gotta say, I'm sad to say that was certainly not at the top of my mind at the time. I was off on an adventure.
Sure.
And it was a stressful adventure at times, but I felt that this was where I was meant to be. But you're right, I was cut off in a way that it's unimaginable today, you know?
Right.
Phone calls were so expensive. They were Christmas and birth of a baby. And the other times I would write on those blue flimsy aerogram things and put it in the mail. It would take 2 weeks to get to my parents, and then they would write back, take 2 weeks to get back to me. I mean, there's nothing, very few experiences that are that intensely, I was really within a different world almost entirely, which I'm grateful for. I mean, it was an amazing experience to be there, to be living in that. Wasn't always easy. And I mean, it is kind of interesting because those letters I wrote, I knew I didn't have time to journal a lot and write letters to my parents. So I asked my parents to keep them. And then when I got back from South Africa and was doing more writing, I asked my parents for the letters and they'd lost them. And I was really upset and devastated. I looked for them every year when I'd go out to visit them in Washington State. And then about, gosh, it must have only been 6 or 7 years ago, my sister-in-law phoned and said, oh, we found your letters. I'm mailing them to you. So when these letters arrived in this box, I mean, they were like a time capsule of a very different person than I am today. And this life experience, when I'd read them, I mean, sometimes when I was reading them, I would blush because they were almost embarrassing, my naivete. But they gave me a real, kind of took me back fully into that experience of being in such a different place under apartheid, with real fear of revolution and yet amazing courage, and it was a very intense and kind of wonderful time.
And you also introduce us to a number of characters in your book. Mm-hmm. When you were deciding to write this book and you thought about the people who influenced you in that time, I'm thinking of the different people that you have mentioned and that meant a lot and helped you become the person that you are today. Are you still in contact with these people, or did you reach out to them as you were researching your own story?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. The person who was really most influential, named Lizzie, and I mean, one of the problems with apartheid South Africa was that it was very effective at keeping races apart. So she was the real friend that I had, who was Xhosa, and she, about the same age as me, kids the same age, and so she really taught me a whole different way of being and a different sense of God, God present in times, good and hard times. Anyhow, I had not had any contact with her, except at one point somebody was helping to raise some money for a house for her, and I sent a check. But just last week, I asked some friends of mine in Cape Town, I said, do you have any idea where Lizzie is? And they said, oh, yeah, we know exactly where she is, and she would love it if next time you're out there, you go and visit her. And so I'm going to write her. Kind of wonderful, though they did say that she also has lost a son, the one who was the same age as my Steve.
Wow.
Who died. So I'm sure she and I will have a wonderful reunion sometime.
Have you been back to South Africa?
Mm-hmm. I have.
You
been.
Have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. It's a very beautiful country and very wonderful people, and it's a part of my life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you touched on this earlier, that at the end of the book doesn't end. Mm-mm. And as I was reading, I was to this point where I thought I knew you very well, and I thought I knew what to expect next. And you were at the end of the book. And it felt to me like your book came full circle, your life came full circle, and then it didn't. Mm-hmm. And there was more to learn and more growth, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Can you touch on that a little bit?
As I was finishing, getting the book ready for publication, I realized how much what I had put in this book about my sense of my growing sense of God and God being present in the glimmers of life rather than in the guarantees. I realized that that had been so confirmed as my son was dying and in his death, so that I really wanted to put that there too, because, you know, we don't know what life's going to bring us. And, you know, it's the hardest thing I've ever done to be present with him through his dying and death. And yet, I felt held by God, the divine, felt held by community of love. And so I really wanted that. To me, that's an incredibly hopeful note, that it's about the worst thing you can imagine going through, and yet that center holds.
Mm-hmm. Powerful. Mm-hmm. And then at the very, very end of your book, you have a guidance area with a workbook mm-hmm. for the reader. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be quite helpful as well, to think about what the book meant to me and where I'm at in my life as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. That makes me happy to hear.
Mm-hmm. I've been speaking with Mary Ellen Ashcroft. Mary Ellen, is there anything that you would like to add?
Well, I should probably say we're doing another signing at Johnson Heritage Post March 22nd. I hope people will read OMG, and we'll want to discuss it with others, discuss it with me, that it will be something that draws them to deeper thinking about those deepest parts of their lives.
It's a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Lovely
much.
Lovely to be with you. Thanks.